is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we are going to talk about so many comics today, Justin.
Yeah,
so many new comics.
Just the right amount for two fellas to get into.
We got 13 books, I think, by my count.
That makes sense.
Lucky number 13.
This stack has really grown in these recent months.
Eventually, we're going to be talking about, what do you think, 50, 60 books?
All of them. Bring it on.
Oh, my God.
I have opinions I haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah, we're actually going to stop recording one stack and just start on the next one because all the new comics will have come out already.
I love that thinking because the stack is not one thing. It is continuous.
It is everything and it is nothing at the same time. It's infinity and it's zero.
It's an infinity warp.
Oh, I love it. We're not going to kick off with that, though, but we are going to talk about a bunch of other new books that are coming out this very Wednesday, came out today. Also, a couple that are advanced, and we'll keep those spoiler free. Let's kick it off with a big one, though, from Marvel Comics, Return of Wolverine number one. I have never been sadder that Pete was sick while we were recording.
Yes, I almost think the excitement was too much for him and he had to take a short head between the knees break from reviewing comics.
You don't think he stabbed himself with his own hot claws?
Yeah, he's trying to live alongside Wolverine. It's sort of a companion piece.
Nice. So if you haven't been following the lead up to this, there have been several books. First of all, we had backup stories where Wolverine was kind of showing up throughout the Marvel Universe.
When he had the Infinity Stone.
Right, which doesn't necessarily seem to be connected to this yet.
Which is very odd. Let me just say, right out of the gate, it's weird that Wolverine first popped back after his death holding the Space Infinity Stone where he could travel all around everywhere. And then there was a slow build up to Wolverine's back. And in this issue, we're finally figuring out how, sort of where he went and how he came back. And the Infinity Stone isn't going to appear. So it's an odd... It's like too much Wolverine doing different things, and right. I don't think it's going to connect.
I think it will.
Eventually. Yeah. But it's also weird because then Wolverine gave up the Infinity Stone, so then it was like, oh, no, he doesn't have it. It's right. So very odd.
There's a lot of filling in the gaps that need to happen. That said, this is Charles Soule, Steve McNiven on art, and... I thought this was great.
I've
been liking the lead up. I've been very surprised how much I like the lead up. But this one, we open up on Wolverine bloodied and beaten in his costume. He's lost his memories again. They've been repressed, by an organization called, what is it, Sotera?
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Sotera in my head. Like, I don't practice Sotera.
Oh, I was thinking the United States of Sotera.
Oh, okay.
You guys know what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, 100%. Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Let's think of a third, even less, even more esoteric thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that eventually. So he is in this lab. All these people are dead. This scientist is begging him to kill him. And it follows him from there as something is going on. There's some lady named Persephone. Who we saw a bit of in the last issue. I think it was Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends, it was called.
Yeah.
We met her there, but really we find out a little bit more about her, but not necessarily what she wants. We don't find out much about Wolverine's hot claws, but really where I did not feel like we needed Wolverine back, frankly.
Let me take that one step further. This feels like an old man Logan story.
Yeah.
Because he's very, like, beat up, crusty. He's like, what's going on? And no one tells him, gives him a straight answer. That's what the old man Logan run for the first 25 issues was.
Yeah. One thing that I really like about this that I'm very excited about, and I didn't realize I would be so excited about, Wolverine losing his memories. That was part and parcel with the character for decades until they gave him all of his memories back. And it didn't ruin the character, but it took away something inherent in him that... And it's nice to have that aspect back.
It's weird to be like, oh, man, I love my heroes clueless.
Well, I think Wolverine so. Rather than Wolverine going into every situation and being like, I've been dealing with this for 50 years. Instead,
I mean, he was like that anyway. It was just he dated redheads was basically what he learned from the origin story.
Yeah, but back in the day, Wolverine would be attacked by people. And they'd be like, I'm going to kill you for what you did to me 70
yes.
years ago. And he'd be like, I don't know who you are.
That was cool. And it did this run, and there we see an image of it in this issue, remind me of the Weapon X story from Marvel Comics Presents, the mm-hmm. original Barry Windsor Smith drawn one with him all naked and with all the machinery on him. And it feels like they are taking it back there.
Yeah, it feels very classic Wolverine, which is exciting. They talk about how he's the super superhero that has saved the world multiple times, but this feels like very ground level, gritty Wolverine, which again, back to basics, really enjoying it. Steve McNiven art, gorgeous.
Very good.
Definitely along for the
ride.
What
do you think is happening? If I may ask you to speculate.
I don't know. I really have no idea at this point. I was trying to figure it out as I was reading, but this is, I really have no idea whether Wolverine is being manipulated, what he's being used for, what exactly is going on. My only suspicion, there was the Hunt for Wolverine miniseries. I think it was Claws of the Killer, the one with all the sharp people in it.
Yeah.
And they're making these zombie soldiers. I don't know why they need Wolverine for that, but it seems like they're talking about that's what they're going to release all over the world.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. I think he's being taken advantage of. Once again, he has had his mind wiped, and he's being fooled into doing someone else's bidding, which seems like a very all Wolverine aspects have to do that. Like X-23 for many years was the assassin for a corporation. Old Man Logan was fooled by Mysterio into killing all his friends. It seems like Wolverine being fooled into doing shit is like the deal.
Yeah, and seeing his journey back to becoming a hero is going to be great. I think it'll be fun.
I know, it's great. And especially though missing Cypher as his, part of it.
He'll be the key. He'll be the one who will unlock the language of his heart.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks. Moving on to a big DC comic book. This is the kickoff of their Black Label line, Batman Damned, Book 1 by Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo. The catch of this is the Joker is dead and Batman is dealing with some weird supernatural folks.
Yeah.
Also, if you're wondering what the Black Label is, it's a more premium format. There's a larger format for the book.
It's a little more expensive and you have to ask for the top shelf behind
the bar. Yes, absolutely. But a smooth going down. No, also they can curse and get a little sexy in it. That's all.
They it's do like, get so sexy.
It's supposed to be their R-rated line, I guess. Batman White Knight sort of fell under there, or at least I believe that was the inspiration for the Black Label line.
Well, you know, it felt like they were, because I saw an article about this, some of the art in White Knight had nudity, and they pulled it back. So maybe they're like, oh, maybe people want that.
Yeah. New Joker dick, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And a day where genitalia is all in the news, it's a great thing to think about the Joker's penis.
Oh, man. I wonder what Mario Kart character it's like.
Yeah. Guys, we are dating ourselves to literally right now, because 5 minutes from now, these jokes are over.
Yeah, later tonight, honestly. What did you think about this book, Batman Damned?
The art is awesome. Like, it feels so different. Well, to your point about Black Label, it doesn't feel that much more like edgy than any other Batman story, recent Batman story. So I'm curious to feel or find out where they're going to push this darker edge. Maybe more mature themes, like there seems to be a religious aspect here that they're going to get into, which I'm very curious about that. So that maybe will inspire the Black
Label. Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of curses throughout the book. I think it just allows them. I like the fact that it's not wall-to-wall nudity with superheroes, you know?
Yeah.
I think being able to say, okay, you have the creative freedom if you want to push the envelope, if you want to not worry about censors too much, I think that's nice. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. As it is, as a story, like you said, it's Brian Azzarello, it's Lee Bermejo. They write and draw a good story together. It's a solid Batman tell. I don't know necessarily where it's going, but it is always nice to see Batman out of his element and dealing with supernatural stuff.
It was cool to see Deadman in here and some of the other characters that Constantine that pop up. Death seems
now,
like...
Enchantress, has she always looked like that, or is that specifically the Suicide Squad movie Enchantress?
I would guess Suicide Squad, or maybe sort of an amalgam of the two, because I don't think so.
Okay.
It's hard. The Enchantress I always think of is the Marvel Enchantress, who's like all green with a hat.
Yep.
So it's definitely not
but
that.
But that's it. She's just wearing a hat, which is why those titles are also Black Label.
So mature.
Oh, boy. Moving on to another one. This is coming out 9/26. No spoilers on it. Big book from Dark Horse, Stranger Things, number one. This is, of course, an adaptation of the Netflix show. It's going back a little bit to the first season, showing you what's going on with Will, how he ends up where he ends up, because he's off screen for... I want to say 6 of the 8 episodes of the first season, something like that.
We never get his perspective, really, except for the beginning and the end of the series, I believe.
Right.
So well, first off, I liked going back to season 1 of Stranger Things, which I liked better. So putting it there, I was already nostalgic for this nostalgia show.
Oh, man, I can't wait for 20 years from now somebody does a nostalgic show about Stranger Things.
Oh, exactly, when we're all living in the Upside Down. So this is, it's fun to see Will's side of the story, basically. Which it seems like that's what this is going to tell.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a big thing for comics in a weird way to get this license. You know, to see Netflix, which is arguably the predominant company in culture right now, other than Disney, moving into comics, really embracing comics beyond their deal with Mark Millar, I think is great.
Yeah.
As a book, I thought this was really solid. Like you said, it's fun to see the stuff. I don't think it broke any new ground. There was nothing shocking or surprising in terms of what actually happens to Will.
No, it's like a companion piece.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a nice thing, like you're saying, if you go back and watch season one to potentially read this book as additional material.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, and the art's nice. It has a real 80s feel to mm-hmm. it.
It's a very good package. They clearly spent some time. This is not just something they're knocking off to tie it to the series. Clearly, at this point, they don't need to knock off something to just tie it to Stranger Things 1. It's great. I hope there's more of it.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, they could do a ton of this for all ton of different characters, especially as their cast keeps growing in the main show. We got to see what they're doing when they're not on camera.
I would love, I know everybody hated the episode set in the city from season 2 with the X-Men characters.
You get to see the other numbers.
I would love that. See more heists 11. From them. That seems like a totally, it seems like a perfect pitch for comic book length stories.
Literally just go read 90s X-Force because that's what it was.
Nah, man, I don't read that old shit.
Oh, cool, dude.
Yeah.
You're only into the freshest comics.
Yeah.
That's why you love these advanced reads.
Oh, man. They haven't even come out yet. They're so young and fresh. That's
okay. Oh, that's
real
not,
gross. Took it too far. Moving on to another licensed property from Oni Press. This is out today. Rick and Morty presents Sleepy Gary, number 1. I got to be honest with you. I watched every episode of Rick and Morty. I completely forgot the character of Sleepy Gary. So it took me a little time to get into this. But it's enjoyable. It's good.
Let me be honest. I've watched almost no Rick and Morty.
Oh, what did you think about this
thing? I had no idea what was going on for a good portion of it.
Yeah.
But I did like it. From what I've seen of Rick and Morty, it does feel like they go all in on the concepts they're figuring out, they're playing with. The different sci-fi tropes, dimensionality, all that. And this feels like they go all in on the story of a parasite who comes in and affects Morty's dad and makes them into a couple, and then we see that play out. I thought it was great.
Yeah, we had, I know you weren't there, Justin, but we had Jim Zub on our Keystone Comic Con panel. If you guys are listening, you can go back into the Comic Book Club live feed and listen to that. He was talking a little bit about the Rick and Morty Dungeons and Dragons book he's writing.
Yeah.
And he pointed out, which I think a lot of people miss about the show, that it isn't a lot of, you know, edgy, edgelord bullshit, you know, and being super extreme. There's a real emotional heft to everything that goes on in Rick and Morty. And I think in particular, that's what this book did really nicely because it is about this parasite that falls in love with one of the main characters, but it explores what that would mean and how it affects both of them while still being funny and weird and kind of gross at times.
Yeah.
Which is good. All right. Moving on to DC Comics once again with Mr. Miracle, number 11. This is the penultimate issue of the run. Don't pick it up here if you haven't picked it up.
Yeah.
We've talked about, I think, every single issue of this book because it's phenomenal. But even though this is the second to last issue, it's kind of all come down to this. Darkseid finally shows up. He's going to take Mr. Miracle and Big Barda's kid, adopt them to end the war that's been destroying Apocalypse and New Genesis.
Which they made the choice to do that. They had the choice of giving Darkseid their one child or continuing the fight. And they said, we'll give you our kid.
Right. But they also say at the same time, Mr. Miracle says, and then I'm going to kill Darkseid.
Yeah.
So that's the setup going into this issue. How do you feel it paid off?
I thought it was great. Really, really good. I thought it was great. Really good. The way they sort of did it all and used a ton of the stuff they've established throughout the rest of the issues of the series.
I agree. I honestly felt a little conflicted about the crudité platter joke, though there's a nice payoff there that I don't want to ruin. It's certainly funny to see Darkseid chewing on carrots, but at the same time, I don't know. It felt a little too funny for everything that was going on. There's been so much weight and so much pathos. This issue strangely felt lighter to me.
I mean, I agree. This definitely felt the most for a show that, or for a series that dealt.
What are we talking about again? Comics?
I know. Sorry. For a series, this new baby keeps me up. For a series that really dealt with like a ton of depression and a ton of dark stuff, this did feel lighter, even though it was like the sort of dramatic climax of what we've seen.
Yeah. The other thing that happens in this issue is a lot of fans have been asking how this fits into the continuity of the DC universe. There's a huge twist at the end, which I certainly didn't see coming, but completely made sense given everything that's happened before. And I think a lot of those answers are coming next issue.
Yeah. And because I'm curious what we're going to see with these, with the new gods. And there's such a big part of the DC universe that has been sort of underserved.
Yeah. This is a wonderful book, though. Absolutely pick it up. Moving on to an Image Comics book. This is a new one, Burnouts, number one. The concept of this book is, what if smoking weed was cool instead of the lamest thing ever, you know?
Uh-oh, we got a narc here on our hands. Alex, why don't you take a breather and let us fun people take over the
lead
on
this? All right, go for it, fun person.
No, I'm just kidding. You're super fun.
Oh,
look at the fun
so
we're having
much.
Right now. We're so high. Time. Alex is so high.
I love smoking pot.
Definitely. We recently taped a pilot for a show involving weed, and Alex really enjoyed it.
I got to tell you what, I freaked out the entire time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, they're going to know, man. They're going to find out that I don't smoke anything.
Yeah, exactly. It was the reverse of what
it
you
was.
Think. Back to this comic, Burnouts. It's about, the only way to tell if people can see if aliens are invading, if you are somehow inebriated. So our main character sort of goes from not doing that to smoking weed, and it's actually a helpful thing for him.
Yeah. Pretty high concept. I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun. I liked how it was executed. I think it was a solid first issue. I didn't really know much about it going in, but I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Agree. I thought it took a while to get to the story, but once we got there, I thought it moved. The back half of the issue moved really well and was the concept's fun. It's a real pro weed comic book.
It is. I also appreciated that there was time spent on the characters and setting them up, that it wasn't just introducing the twist on the last page. It actually introduces it about halfway through and then follows it up with some more details. So to me, it felt like a good start to a comic, not just the first 5 minutes of a TV show. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. If you're looking for something new and fun and you like smoking weed, first of all, I'd love to buy some from you. Just let me know where I can buy it.
Totally believable.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I buy some from you?
Yeah, I would sell you. Wait a second. You weren't wearing. Hey, I need you to lift up your shirt as usual. Okay, good. None of this is being recorded. Yes, I want to buy weed.
Man, that would be great, actually. Do a podcast called You Want to Buy Weed?
Yeah. Man, we are making deals.
Jeez, we could trap a lot of people. Definitely pick this up. Here's another book from Boom Studios. We're big fans of the first issues of this. Black Badge, number two. The idea of this book is, what if Cub Scouts, but extreme?
I think they're Boy Scouts. I think I corrected you last time over that, because Cub Scouts are children, are very young children.
Sure.
I was a Cub Scout,
okay,
and that's about as far as I went with the scouting.
So, Boy Scouts, when you've earned all the badges you can, what's left? You become a super spy and travel to remote locations. Nobody is thinking that Boy Scouts?
Yes.
Boy Scouts.
It's like right before Man Scout.
Ah, right. Man Scouts are just the army, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Okay. They head to these other countries, get in very morally conflicted, go on very morally conflicted missions. We got to see one of those last issue, found out a little bit about our scouts. This issue, our scouts are on another mission immediately afterwards, run into another band of scouts while
they're Mounties.
Mounties.
Junior Mounties
while in, I clearly don't know anything about children, while in Siberia.
boy doesn't understand nature.
I really don't. What did you think about this? Did this, since we were big fans of the first issue, do you think this held up?
Yeah, I like this a lot. I feel like it is, even though it's like boys on an adventure, the stakes are always high and it feels edgy. I really feel like you're along for the ride with these characters because they seem out of their depth at all times and have like an untrustworthy leader who is, we don't know what the actual mission is until it's happening.
The other thing that I'm really appreciating about this so far on the comics bent is that each issue is a mission, you know,
yeah.
That again, I think it would have been really easy to make, okay, it's the first mission. That's your first 6-issue arc, but it's not. The first mission was the first issue. Second mission is the second issue. We're finding out more about the characters as we go, but there's big action, huge, crazy things are happening every issue. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's not too late for you to go back to Boy Scouts.
Really?
Well, I would start with Cub Scouts.
Oh, okay. All right. Cub Scouts are the ones that sell Girl Scout cookies, right?
Yes, exactly. That's definitely. That's right where you want to be.
Here's a big launch from IDW. Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive, #1. Now, I got to be honest. I'm not the biggest Dick Tracy fan.
What?
I know.
Everyone's a Dick Tracy fan.
All of us 75-year-olds are big Dick Tracy fans. But this is by Mike and Lee Allred, and the art is by Rich Tomasso. That's a fantastic team working on this.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the real selling point to the book.
Yeah, it's fun. It's Dick Tracy sort of has a weird history to me in that it's a comic strip, the movie, like, but it's sort of on paper for kids, but Dick Tracy like murders people all the time and deals with a lot of these sort of like fucked up situations. So this definitely feels more like he shoots a bunch of people and Dick Tracy seems like sort of a jerk.
It's a real Black Label book is what
it is. Yeah, no, that's definitely right.
Yeah.
Dick Tracy's a dick.
Yeah, there you go. Did you like it?
I did like it, yeah.
Okay.
I like the art a lot and it feels like a very different type of comic book, sort of, I don't know exactly how to describe it. It's like a dark story drawn for kids. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. I gotta be honest. I was mostly looking at it for the pictures more than anything. Like I like Dick Tracy, but there's a certain point where everybody's like, yeah, see, I'm going to shoot you. See that I start to zone out a little bit when I'm reading it. It felt like it nailed the Dick Tracy dialogue. All the characters are there, but I was enjoying it more for going, oh, that guy has a weirdly shaped head.
Yes, there's definitely that.
Yeah. All right. Another one from Dark Horse out 9/26. This is Gamma #1. This book is crazy.
This book is crazy. It's like someone picked up my Nintendo and shook all the RPGs from the like early 90s into a comic book.
That is a great way of putting it. It is 20 to 30 pages of, I want to say, 20 to 30 panels each page.
So
something
many
like that.
Panels.
It's amazing that they could tell any sort of story going on there.
Yeah.
I read every page of this. I have no idea what's going on. I was still kind of into it at points because it mixes, as you're talking about, every single trope from Power Rangers to Sailor
Moon.
Yeah, to it's everything. It's everything all at the same time. While there's these narrators talking about we can still save them, there's still time, there's still hope. So very confusing, but do you think worth picking up?
There are some parts I liked about it. It is like an assault on your eyes. There's a lot of tiny panels. But the story definitely does feel like it's going somewhere. I do wish that they sort of trimmed down some of the references so I knew a little bit more about what to think about these characters and the world around them.
Yeah, it's a lot. And particularly with the small panels, it's hard to keep track of the characters and understand exactly who is who or what the relationship is, particularly because there's also several layers of storytelling going on at the same time.
There's some time shifting going on.
It's a lot. If you're looking for something that certainly is bang for your buck, that's good.
Yeah, because that's what everybody wants, is the max number of panels in every comic
book.
Exactly.
That's why everybody gets burritos.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why everyone watch, when they want to be entertained, they watch C-SPAN, because it's the same thing all the time.
When I want to be entertained, I watch every channel simultaneously.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Yeah, pretty cool. Definitely getting a lot of information off that. Here's a book out today from Boom Studios, Coda number 5. This is one that we talked about back to the first issue, so I figured we could check in on this now. Another weird book.
Yeah, and I must have missed that episode because I didn't read the first issue. So this, I was like, oh, I don't know exactly what's going on. But if I can guess, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Sure. It feels like men and women have sort of are at war a little bit.
I don't know.
Oh, okay, great. And you have read it. Okay. Yeah. And there's
this is by Cy Spurrier, who has a tendency to write these insanely high concept, very dense books. And yeah, this is no different. There have been some books that have a little more of an in to them. This is, as far as I could tell, not one of those. But I like the images. I thought those were very interesting. And it's weird.
Yes, great. That's great.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to another one that we're checking in on. Image Comics, Coyotes number 6.
Coyotes on the last one.
Talking about Coyotes, not Coda?
I mixed up Coyotes and Coda.
Oh, man.
Coyotes is the one.
Yes, that makes more sense now, what you're saying.
Coyotes is the one.
Yeah,
where men and women are at war.
I think.
Yeah. Here's the real lesson here is start at number one.
Yeah. Well, we started at number one with that one. This is one that folks were discussing. We have a private Slack for our Patreon that folks can chat in, which has been a lot of fun to check out. Yeah, got to support us on the Patreon to access the Slack. But folks were talking about Coyotes. I was curious to check in on it and see if it picked up more. The art is very beautiful. It takes place in this weird mystical world where people can turn into werewolves or coyotes or something like that. So I was curious to see whether it had really picked up here. I still really like the way the characters are drawn a lot.
Yeah,
I think that's very good. I think there's a lot of stark images here, particularly when it comes to the coyotes. But again, the storytelling, it's tough to have something to hang on to in this one.
Yeah, you just don't quite know it. I do like the art does have a little, the different people's word balloons have a little different etching on the edge. I thought that was really cool. But I like this story. I like what we read here in that it does feel like very dystopian, very much like these people are running out of time, and I'm curious to see more. And if I can go back and give you my review of Coda.
Yeah, that would be great.
Which I liked a lot, actually. Cy Spurrier, yeah, he writes dense, sort of weird stuff, but this feels like if Adventure Time was allowed to just keep going and the characters got older and it got a little darker. Feels really cool. There's a lot of great specifics in here. The town is pulled by a giant and they're like feeding it and all this random stuff. So I like this book. The main characters carry around a head, which again looks sort of like the Ice King, the head of a wizard. So I like this book, even though I didn't know what it was 1 minute ago.
There you go. Listen, they have the same two letters at the beginning. That's very confusing.
Exactly.
Get your shit together, Coda's a Coyote.
Yeah, Coda Coyote.
God damn it. Moving on to another Marvel comic book, Infinity Wars, Soldier Supreme number 1. In the last issue of Infinity Wars, the Marvel Universe, all the characters got jammed together and made into the so-called Infinity Warps. Now we're getting to see at least one of them, which is Soldier Supreme. He's half Doctor Strange, half Captain America. Very exciting time to be alive.
Yeah.
We're enjoying Infinity War so far, I think, as a whole, as a group. But what do you think about this? This is by Jerry Dugan, who also is writing the main Infinity War series.
The art's really nice in this, I felt. And I like the combination here. It's fun. We talked about it a little bit when we reviewed the last issue of Infinity Wars, that it feels like, oh, this is the gimmick of Infinity Wars. We sort of agreed that it was a smart gimmick because they're using the idea that Thanos was getting rid of half of the souls, and Gamora has gotten rid of half of the souls by combining the heroes. So she's not killing anyone, she's still a hero, and that gives us these fun mashup stories.
Yeah, my only issue with this particular book is it felt like reading a history book of this alternate Marvel universe. You know, I know the story of Steve Rogers. I know the story of Doctor Strange. This runs through what's different You know, it just goes, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And you can go, oh, neat. Okay, so he was hit with a magic spell by Dr. Erskine. He fights, what was it, the Red Dormammu. Dormammu. That's a mashup as well. That's pretty cute. Bucky is also Wong. His name is Bucky Wong. That's pretty cute. So all of the stuff is fun, and it's fun to read. And like you said, the art is good. But there's not really an emotional heft there that I'm feeling yet. Maybe it'll come next issue, but right now it kind of is like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good, it's not exactly like reading the news, it's more like reading a profile page on an alternate Marvel wiki, which I don't mind. I enjoy it. There's fun storytelling there, but at the same time, it doesn't quite feel necessary.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I take that point because it does feel like they are just showing like, oh, isn't this interesting that we've combined these two things? But where the issue ends up, I liked, and maybe they will push it a little bit further. I also think the visuals of combining Captain America and Doctor Strange are fun with the magic shield and all that. But I think the character traits are a little weird because Captain America is like all go, no stop American hero, while Doctor Strange is a little like selfish and like not as sort of a reluctant hero, especially in his origin. And they've combined those here, and it makes the Soldier Supreme. It makes him a little less likable.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little hurdle to get over.
The thing this was missing that was such a great weird detail from the last issue of Infinity Wars is that everybody hates Soldier Supreme and thinks he sucks.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to see that more. Like, it kind of just felt like it was just the Captain America story, but with magic.
Yeah.
But the idea, that was the main thing I wanted to know. Like, why does everybody think that he's super lame? You know, that to me is funny. That's a fun bit that you can play with.
Yeah, it is a weird choice.
We don't see that in this issue.
Yeah. And also, the next issue feels like we're in a totally new place and we're going to see. So I don't know if we'll actually see that. Maybe that's just the choice for the main book.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Last one we're going to talk about from IDW, Impossible Inc. number one. I thought this book was a lot of fun. I was very surprised by it. It's very, what is it, Future Quest maybe, or one of those adventure shows. This girl's father, who's an impossible explorer, disappears when she's a kid. Cut to years later, she and the rest of the gang are still carrying on exploring impossible things without him, but she misses him. They come up with an idea where they want to track him down, and I don't want to spoil it, but maybe somebody surprising is there at the end of the road.
That's great. The end of the road, which is also the beginning.
Oh, shit.
This felt like, you ever watched the Disney XD show Gravity Falls?
Uh-huh.
This felt like that. To me.
Interesting. I would not have said that at all, but why?
Because it's there's a lot of like, oh, my father does this stuff. I want to follow in his footsteps and catch up with, then he goes missing. I want to like find him. In Gravity Falls, I think it's the uncle who goes missing. Is that right? And then...
is it?
I think so, yeah.
Really? I mean, you might be totally right. Don't they just get dropped off with their grandpa?
Oh, grandpa. But it's the uncle, though, that is the... is the traveler, and he has the sixth finger.
Maybe I missed that episode.
That issue?
Wow, we don't know what the difference between comic books and TV shows are.
The world is falling apart. This is one too many comics for us to review, it seems like.
Well, anyway, if you like kid adventure, investigative-y show type things, I think you'll really enjoy this. It's not breaking any new ground, but I wanted to say the animation. The art is really clean and good and fun. I like the fact that they exist in a world where everybody knows who they are. That feels a little different to me. Usually it's the sort of thing where it's, we operate in secret and we can't let people know about the impossible things that are out here. In this one, everybody's like, wow, it's those guys.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. That's a fun setup.
It is. And like I said, I thought it was a fun read.
All right, there we go. If you'd like to support this show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Please come on by. We'll chat about whatever. Who even cares, you know? We'll just chat about whatever.
The stack. Cool. We've gone too far into the stack. We've gone into the impossible portion of the stack. We're deep. We're in too deep.
What else do you want to plug, Justin?
Follow us on Facebook so you can hear about all of the guests on our show. And follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at Comic Book Club live.com with the podcast and more. And we'll see you at the movies. No, wait, on TV. At the comic book shop.
We've warped with Pete, and now we don't know what's happening.
Oh, man.